Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana, virtually. How are you? What's going on?
Always a pleasure. I see you're back from Aruba. Looking tan.
I'm back.
Looking happy.
I know. Take it in. Take in that jealousy. I got many a DM from people saying, Jordana's going to freak out. That tan gonna be there. I feel it, positivity's in the air. I can feel it from the last time I was in New York. People are getting vaccinated.
It's happening.
You know spring is springing. Daylight savings time really changed people's view on shit. What do you think?
I'll be honest, it's still a little fucking cold.
A little cold.
A little cold. It's still a little cold. That's the thing about March. It's hopeful, but it's still very cold. So, which again brings me back to the jealousy over your tan. But you know, my time will come.
Yeah, it'll come. You'll get there.
I'm looking forward to it. We had a big week at Betches. We did our whole rebrand. As you can see, the cover art for the U Up podcast is new.
Yeah, that's right. It's beautiful. All the cover art for all the podcasts look great. Like it's and
the
congratulations.
Bachelor one looks great too.
The Bachelor ones look great. Congratulations. 10 years. Like this is
it's been a month long celebration like any Betch would.
It's my birthday month. Yeah. You guys you really did. That is very on brand. You're right.
It's very in brand and, we're excited. We have a new look. If you go to Betches.com, you can see the whole new website. Obviously the cover of the podcast has changed. And we've got some really cool new, merch out on shopbetches.com. Jared, you'll have to tell me what exactly you want and we'll send it to you. There's some very cool stuff.
I want some things. I especially want, and I think I'm bringing this up because again, I think this podcast has done a good job. I'll pat ourselves on the back for being optimistic throughout this whole thing as much as we could. Sure, we get a little negative. Sure, we give you the tough talk on your dating stuff. But like the idea that we talked about dating during a pandemic is optimism in itself. And I'm going to continue that with saying to people, it's going to be a party. This thing's going to end. You are going to see more people than you ever thought you were going to see. You're going to be out with friends on nights you never thought you were going to go out. You're going to be meeting new guys, meeting new women. It's going to be a good thing. It's coming. Call me Nostradamus. I feel it in my bones. I see it in the streets. Take this as, put this on your ringtone. Make me your ringtone. Here's your ringtone. We're coming the fuck back. It's coming back. You're going to have a fun summer. You're going to have an amazing summer, a great spring. You look great. I can see it through the screen. I can see it through your podcast app. I see you, listener, Mr. Listener, Mrs. Listener, Ms. Listener. You look amazing. You're ready for this. Here's a great way to celebrate. We have a new Red Flag Deal Breaker expansion pack. And its good news is you do not need to own the first game in order to purchase this. It's an additional card game that is just as fun. So you're going to be out at parties. You're going to be with new people. The Red Flag Deal Breaker card game is the perfect way to get to know new people. Right, Jordana?
It's amazing for icebreakers. You know, someone actually DM'd me when I posted about it this morning and someone DM'd me and she was like, I just bought this game. I had the first one. I play this on dates all the time. I leave it on my coffee table and the guy's like, what's this? And then we play and it's such a great way to get to know like a guy that I'm going on a date with.
Absolutely. And you're about to meet a lot of different new people. Again, that means more fun, more excitement, more heartbreak. Not going to lie to you, But let's get through that. Let's figure out who the people we want to hang out with more by getting the red flag deal breaker card game from Shop Betches. Is that where they go? Where do they go, yes. Jordana?
Just go to shopbetches.com and go look at the collections for you up, and you'll see not only the card game, but all the other merch that we have on there.
Absolutely. I got so excited seeing that red flag deal breaker card game in our agenda today, because I was like, it's coming. Don't you feel it? Don't you see
it? I do. I feel like it's going to be a fun time to be single. It's going to be a fun summer.
You guys, lucky you, everybody. We get to look at the same people we've been looking at, but good for you.
All year, every day.
What's going on with you? Well, any other announcements, but also the 10-year, how does it feel to be a 10-year CEO? How do you feel? Is it weird?
It is weird. It's weird. It's cool. It's exciting. It's scary. It's like, you know what I mean? Because it's not like it's been 10
years.
You're not, and it's
you're
done.
Not old. Like, that's the thing. Like, this is the type of achievement that you would expect, like, to be celebrating with your dad or mom.
Right. Or like my kids or something. I don't know. It's yeah.
Like you would remember celebrating it for your mom and her gynecology practice. Like you'd be like, I remember we had a 10-year anniversary party for your, you know, your private practice, right? Like yeah. I was thinking about you the other day about this.
No, I think it's cool. I mean, it's great to be able to look back and also just like, I mean, we started this company, it's 21 years old. So it's,
yeah.
I've not only been a professional transition of like growing this company and doing a lot of cool things, but also very personal, you know, like yeah. being a very different person than I was back then, in a lot of ways the same, but also like just looking back at like who I was when we started this and then how I've personally evolved and how the business has evolved. It's been really cool, but it's also like there's more work to do. So
yes, yeah. Well, that's exciting. That's like the most exciting type of business that you're like, we're not done yet. Like that's amazing.
Right. Yeah, it's good. And check out the At Betches podcast, which launched last week. Me, Sammy, and Aileen, we're going through like, you know, we're going back to high school, college, telling you all the stories you probably haven't heard before about the three of us, and like stories about building this company, and also even before we started it.
The sisterhood of the traveling seven jeans. I love it.
There you go.
So I'm very excited. That's awesome. So I'm excited for you guys, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Announcements for my end. The special is humming. It's on there. If you haven't watched the stand-up special, please make a night of it. You know, while we're still locked in the house, go make a night of it. It's a 35-minute stand-up special, and it can let you remember all the social anxieties of 2020. It's on my YouTube page, youtube.com/JaredFried. Tag me in it. Let people know. Share it. Comment. Like it. Do all that stuff. I've got live shows, and the calendar is starting to take some form here. We're doing more live shows. I'm coming to Charleston. I'm coming to Long Island.
We're in Long Island.
The brokerage, where Levittown, is that where I'm going?
Oh, I've heard of Levittown.
Right?
It's the original suburb.
The original suburb, yeah. So that's where I'll be. Yeah, but it's all on my calendar, jaredfried.com. It's also, I'm doing a lot of, Jordana, you'll probably get a kick out of this. I'm doing a lot of corporate gigs.
Oh, cool.
So they're all virtual. So it's, and the way people are finding me for the, I've done these in the past, and comics have to do corporate gigs all the time.
Like stand up.
You do stand up for, you know, a business or whatever they're doing. And a lot of businesses are just looking for ways to like shake up their Zooms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, and the people that I have been, the reason I'm getting more of them is this podcast. People here that listen are in positions where they're like, they're in HR or they're the head of a company like you. And they're like, how do we do something different for our company? So I've had a lot of people reach out, just not even with, I haven't even mentioned it. This is stuff I would do, you know, like it's usually like an 80-year-old guy who's like, come here, kid, can you do a little Henny Youngman for us? And it's like, okay, sure. But these have been fun events. So if you're in that position where you work with a company and you want to do private gigs, message through my website at jaredfree.com. There's a message. There's a way to message me. So because I'm only saying this because people have been reaching out lately. I've got
totally. And I feel like we are very lucky. All of our listeners have like very cool jobs, very cool companies, and they're able to like facilitate this sort of thing. Our listeners are so awesome. I'm actually, for my wedding, I'm actually using a photographer who reached out to me as an original listener of this podcast.
That's amazing.
And she was like really wanted to shoot our wedding. And she has she's amazing, amazing photos. And I'll link out to her like soon. I'll find her Instagram because you guys should
find
check it
her
out.
While if you're, I want to tell a quick story, which will make the listeners blush. Not to like blow smoke up the listenership's assholes, but let me say this. They would blush every time my dad describes who listens to this podcast. My dad, if you like, he does this. You know when like dads do the same speech over and over again? They repeat it.
Definitely.
My dad, he'll be like, if I've overheard him, he said the speech to me and I've heard him tell the speech to other people of like, what type of person listens to this podcast? And he's like, they're smart, beautiful women who are upward mobile, career women, killing it in their industry. That's the type of listener. I'm like, and I'm sitting there like, go on. Like I'm taking pride in the type of person.
Pride in you, the listeners. You guys are incredible.
So I do want to say that to people listening. Like my dad's a huge fan of all of you. So
if you see Jared's dad out, let him know that if you can get your autograph, he can get a picture with you guys.
Exactly.
But yeah,
he's
check
the
out
guy
my
that's
photographer.
Way too tan, more tan than I am. Who's the photographer? Link them out.
She does destination weddings. She's incredible. It's at PBICHARA photo.
Awesome. So listen, if you guys are looking, that's a place to go. Okay, let's get to today's show. Before we do, we have a brief announcement. We've been doing this show a long time. We have the same type of show every week. That's why you love it. That's why you guys listen. We want to do something different. So we had this idea. We are going to do a quick hits episode. Jared, what does that mean? That means we're going to do like a bunch of your dating questions. We're going to do like as many as we can get through. And the only way to get your question on to next week's episode for our quick hits episode is to follow the @YouUpPod Instagram account, because we're going to put up a question box at some point from now until next week. There's going to be a question box and we're going to use those questions on the episode. So the only way to get your question on is to follow @YouUpPodcast on Instagram @YouUpPod. And then that question box is going to come up. And you guys put your questions up, and that's going to be our whole episode the following week. I'm excited about this. Right, Jordana?
I'm really excited as well. It's a great way. I know we get thousands and thousands of emails, so this is a great way. If you have a good question and you can state it succinctly, we will answer it, and we're really excited about it.
Well, some people just want to hear us like kind of like go off on general topics. This is a good way to get in your like, your question on Snapchat, your question on Instagram, your question on I'm seeing a guy for a month. What do you think of this? You know, just that generalized question that you and your friends at the brunch table have been kind of hemming and hawing over. We can go into it, right?
Right. We will solve the brunch table issues.
That's right. As debates. We do every week. Yes. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about what to do if you feel like you've outgrown your relationship,
which I think is a very interesting topic. I feel like I always think about this when I think of people who like met in college or like right after and they're dating for like 5 years or something, where you're kind of like, seems kind of incredible that you could go through like those first 2 or 3 years after college and still like each other or not wonder.
Well, it's kind of why people talk shit about that relationship, like the college sweetheart, the high school sweetheart, because it's hard to understand. I can understand it and I can't understand it at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah,
like I can understand that someone becomes like family to you, and that's kind of what everyone's looking for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very comfortable. But I feel like you change. There's so much that you change so much in those like first few years. It seems like it would be harder to stay together. So I guess if you can make it, you kind of. I'm always like, if you could last, you know, it's like the person who was with the person they were dating abroad. It's like if you stayed with them through abroad, you might as well marry them. You already missed out on that experience.
Well, but at the same time, it's like if you can get through abroad, why don't you just marry him? Then you go, well, now I'm graduated. I'm going through life. And, you know, that it was easier to go through abroad together because you're in college and you never had to like wake up at 8 a.m. to go to the gym before work. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I think like it's hard. People get very judgy. And I see it, especially because we talk about dating a lot. Someone will go, oh, high school sweethearts, what a bunch of fucking idiots. And I'm like, I don't believe that, you know, like.
It's kind of like you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So I always think it's either incredible or people are settling or it's incredible.
Yeah. It's legitimately one or the other. I don't know. I think this can happen during quarantine, during the pandemic. Like someone could have, you know, this year, people have grown up and they've gotten younger. You know what I mean? Like, right. And also you see someone that you're with go through something where you might have only seen the person you're with go through abroad, which isn't like that's like the most luxury adventure of all time. You know,
you had to deal with culture shock,
right?
It's a real thing.
Your apartment building that was all kids from Wisconsin. Yeah, in Florence.
Right.
Yeah, so I think like this is like the pandemic is a very real. It's the pandemic is having a baby. It's losing someone in the family. Like it's as serious as any of those things. So I could see how someone could go, "Wow, I grew up during this and you did not, or you grew up during this. I don't want to grow up."
Right. And I think it sometimes can be like, who's changing? Like, am I changing or is the person changing? Or like, how is this? Because it's not always that like, it's usually, it's almost like when one person feels like they've outgrown a relationship, to me, that usually means they're the ones that the other person didn't do anything wrong. If they stayed the same, the person who wants out is kind of like, I changed. I want different things now.
Sure. And I not to jump ahead a little bit, but I think our email, it to me, there's a very big tight wire walk of like getting a little judgmental on that. Like sometimes people like it's okay to feel that you're a different person without feeling that the person you're with is a bad person for not changing as well.
Totally. Totally. Because like, again, you could change and want different things, but that other person didn't do anything wrong. It just might mean they're no longer a match for you. You can be a match with someone and then eventually, and then one day not become a match doesn't mean that person's an asshole. It just means that you want different things than you used to, and it's more about you than them.
Yeah, and what happens a lot, and I'll speak from the guy side of things, is, you know, a lot of women will go, "You're 30. And you're like, okay, you know, like, I don't know what to say to that, you know?
You're like, 30 meaning what? Like,
you're old, it's time, what are you doing? It becomes like how you're, I guess it's a judgment, but it's like, it's the way someone looks at you to say that you're wrong for not being where I am. Like a lot of men.
Ready to move forward, you're saying.
To move forward, or ready to like do things that are more 30 specific to one person. Right. I'm using 30 as a arbitrary age. It could be any age because, again, like I have people say to me all the time, like I've had my dad go to me like, "You're 36. You got all the time in the world." Like he's like, "What an age," you know. Right. And then someone else looks at me and is like, "You're 36." Like I've had Jess be like, "You want to be an old dad?" I'm like, and then I've never thought of it. I'm like doing the math on my fingers. I'm like, I will be 80 when they're 10, you know, like I, you know, so I think it's one of the, and I go back and forth on that a lot as far as like growing up versus not growing up versus where are you in life. I think a lot of people, especially during this pandemic, has taken stock of like where they are. We've had time to think about it, and it's like, oh, I'm not 24. And just hanging around New York City anymore. Oh, wow, I forgot about that. I think a lot of men are having that happen.
Well, there's not as many distractions. Before, there used to be just like all these things that you could do to like not think about or analyze your life, and everything was like status quo. But I think this has taken away a lot of distractions. You're really like put with the person in front of you, and you're kind of like, do I want this?
Yeah.
Is this for me?
That's a big thing. I think that's happening for a lot of people, and it's like, I think that's, you know, the pandemic makes it so there's that, like what you just said is so true. It's like there's less to do. So you still look at this person and you go, would I have looked? You know, like, does that mean I wouldn't have looked at any other time?
Maybe. I think that's bringing it back full circle to that whole like college relationship that lasts forever and they get married. I'm kind of like, part of me always wonder when I see those people on both. I remember dating and like seeing those girls from college who had like married their college boyfriend and being like, on the one hand, really jealous that they just, you know, they had it figured out, which is probably, you know, or it seemed like they had it figured out. Like it seemed like they like just lucked out and met a great person really early and they didn't have to deal with any of the shit that I was doing, that I was dealing with.
But the shit you were dealing with was, I mean, to kind of go back at that, like, the shit you're dealing with were like adventures. Like whenever someone talks about like adventuring around New York City, like a lot of women, we use that word. I'm like,
right.
And I'm always like, I roll my eyes a little bit. Like what adventure are you going on? I think I did a bit on one of my, on my stand-up album. I did a bit about it, but it's like, but the real adventure is kind of the heartbreak and the learning and the shitty part of it that comes with the good part.
No, I mean, looking back now, I'm glad I had those years. But definitely in the moment when struggling with it, I was like, I wish this could just be a little easier. And I would wonder, I mean, like, it's kind of like part of me was jealous and part of me was like, have you looked at that person? Like, is it like, or is it kind of, I mean, it's, we talked about this with Logan Yuri, where it was kind of like, are you just going with the flow? Like, are you making these decisions? I forgot what she called it, but it was like, are you making these decisions intentionally? Or are you just kind of like rolling into the next step?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a real thing. Should we go to the emails? Let's read this out.
I'll read it. Hi, JJ. Obviously love you guys and haven't missed one episode since your first. Great. Been to your live shows, virtual shows, the whole shebang.
Love the shebang.
Love it all. I'm looking for some advice on a topic I don't think you've discussed. I'm 26 years old and I feel like I'm outgrowing people my age, including my long-term boyfriend. I got a puppy during the pandemic, and it just made me start to realize that my ideal night is going out to a nice dinner and maybe having one drink and then coming home and watching TV on the couch with my dog. I have been dating my boyfriend for 5 years now. He and most of my friends are still very much in college mode with drinking and going out, and I just think I have very different priorities now. He was also very against me getting a dog, but never really explained why. He just kept saying it was too much responsibility, which I kind of felt like that was my decision to make. When it comes down to it, I think he was nervous that it took time away from him, which honestly has definitely happened. He also has always had a higher sex drive than me. So if we go a week without sex, it is the end of the world. And training a puppy has definitely caused that to happen a bunch. I just feel like we are constantly arguing over little things. We also don't live together. And it doesn't really seem like that's top of mind for him at all, even though he gets really upset when I don't sleep at his apartment often enough. In an ideal world, I think I would definitely want to live together. I guess my questions are, is it possible that I've outgrown this relationship? Does he resent me for getting a dog? Has the pandemic changed our relationship? I don't want to break up because I love him so much, but I just don't know if I can wait for him to mature or for these little fights to keep happening. At this point, I'm just hoping I can hang on until the pandemic gets better and the puppy is more trained so I have more time. Thank you so much for your help. Sincerely, a stressed bitch.
Yeah, I'm sorry to break this person. It's not going to get better. She's got to end this. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's again, like, and to bring it back to what you were saying before, it's not, she doesn't have to end this because this guy like sucks. She has to end this because she's just like not, she's become a different person or wants different things. And he's, and they're just no longer as compatible as they used to be.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I just like, there's a few things that I pick out from this email that like are just very interesting to me. Like the way she explains, he was very, very much in college. I have been dating my boyfriend for 5 years now. He and most of my friends are still very much in college mode with drinking, going out. And I think I have different priorities now. Like that to me
sounds judgy,
a little judgy. Like right. The idea that their priority is drinking and being in college mode is to say that they don't care about their jobs or their careers or their personal lives. It's like, that's not just the word priority. And I don't think she meant it that way, but I can see how what it becomes this thing of like.
And 26 is that age where you're kind of like, I'm still doing this or I'm like too good for this, especially for a lot of girls, I think.
26 like, is a yeah.
Right. 26, 27 is when you start to get like the girls who are like not going out anymore or the girls who are going out every weekend night still. It's like, it sort of becomes like, I put that behind me or I'm still doing it. And I don't think either. I was the girl who was still doing it. So I don't, I get it.
But that's such a female, that is such a female thing to me. Like, and I only learned this from this podcast, this idea of like, like women have to shut doors on things. They can't leave a door ajar. Like the
either you mean like either I either go out or I don't go out.
I'm a go out person or I am a book at home, maybe one drink, maybe. You know, right. Like I can see it. No guy would say his priorities are to drink, but no guy would also say that like I'm still in that college mode. You know, like he's just going out. It's very fluid situation. Like this guy wants to believe that he's a play hard, work hard type of guy, which is
right.
Like,
is there no age for guys where you're like, I should probably stop like blacking out every Friday and Saturday night?
I mean, I think that there. I think I've had that conversation with myself many a year, but like. I do like have the thing where it's like, I do want to go out. Like I'll have that thing where I'll go out with Jess and then I'll come back and we'll be out until like late. And I'll come back and I'll wake up the next day and I'll be like, what am I doing? I didn't need that in my life, you know?
Right. I feel like there's an age where like there's pre-games, you know what I mean? Like when there, you'd have like a group of people that would like go out every weekend night. I mean, yours is more like you're going out and drinking with Jess, but like you're not going to like pre-games on Fridays and Saturdays anymore.
No, but we've had instances where like her friends have all come over and I enjoy her friends. I think they're all great and fun. And then it'll be like late and I'll be like, and I'll wake up the next day, I'll be like, did I need to be doing the extra hour? You know, like, and but I think especially this is, to me, this is strikes me as very male to go, is to look back on it, not to look forward on it, where I would go, well, I am now out of pregame mode, you know, like right. It's more like a maybe next time I won't. And like, but I could be convinced. I don't know. It's just the way she has explained her life versus his. Hers is like very much like I've moved on from fifth grade to sixth grade. I am now in middle school, and I am a middle schooler. Like, I am now adult, 26. Here's my dog, and I light candles from Joe Malone. Right. I'm not getting the candles from Urban anymore. You know, I don't know.
Which is, like, cool. Like, that's fine if that's, I mean.
It's fine. Yeah.
As the person who, like, wasn't doing that at 26, I definitely had, like, a fear that the older I was doing it, that the more I was just going to become this, like, washed up party girl that was, like, do you know what I mean? Who, like, was just drinking all the time and, like, age, like, looked 5 years older than she was. Cause you know what I mean? I was doing that for a while. I think even if it wasn't, like, actively affecting my decisions, it was definitely in the back of my head.
Yeah, the washed up party girl. Like, I don't know if I have the same washed up party boy thing, right. You know, like and then you look at another part in her email. She then says he was very against me getting a dog, but never explained why. He just kept saying it was too much responsibility, which I kind of felt like was my decision to make. And it's like, okay. To me, this is someone who's operating differently than the boyfriend. They are not that. This is when I say that sentence is when I go, you are not in a relationship. You guys are hooking up and you get together and you have you kind of play house for a second and then you go back to your separate lives. Because
right.
He has a right to say to you, this dog affects me. We've been together 5 years. I'm going to get blamed if I don't want to stay in for dog time.
Totally. I mean, you see this on the opposite end all the time. I feel like we get things that's like, oh, he was like looking for a house and he didn't include me in like looking at that. And I think we would say the same thing. Like if someone's thinking of you as a we, they are before they get a dog or do any or make a large investment or do something like that. They're talking to you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk to him about it and he goes, yeah, it's going to be a lot of responsibility. And you're like, that is not your decision to make. It's like, well, I am because basically I kind of my takeaway from the full email is like he can only be an asshole by the life that you're moving on to.
Right. Which means that you're not compatible. So I guess
exactly.
To answer her question, I don't want to call it outgrowing him because I think that again has like a judgmental tone of like I'm now in like I'm more mature than you and I like want bigger things for my life than you. I don't like that term, but is it more like you drifted apart? I think that's a more accurate way to describe this relationship that you've probably grown and are in different places in your life than you were when you first got together.
Absolutely. And you may love him, but he might have been a great relationship for you at some point, but like you're going to grow to resent him. I mean, listen to how she's describing him. She says that his sex drive is higher and the dog's already taking away from that. So now he's a guy who hates dogs and doesn't get enough sex. Like, can you imagine? Like, right. like this is only going to get worse. You're starting at, well, my boyfriend's mad we're not fucking enough for him, and he doesn't even like little Cujo. And it's like, oh, he's a monster. But in reality, he's just
say you're not a match.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not a match.
Just say, like, he's not, you know, he wants different things than you. That's like...
I have a question for you, though. This is kind of leads us to a different place. The idea of waiting for someone to mature to you, how do you feel about that? Because she writes, "Can if I can wait for him to mature or for these little fights to keep happening, at this point I'm just hoping I can hang on until the pandemic gets better and the puppy is more trained so I have more time." How do you feel about it? Because I feel like a lot of women do that where they're like, I'm just going to wait out these his terrible twos until he's
right.
You know until I can put the boyfriend in preschool. Like doesn't it what do you think?
I mean, I know a lot of women who do that, I think, and some of them it works sometimes and it doesn't work other times. Mm. You know, I have friends who've broken up with guys because they started dating them in a when they were kind of like wanting to party or do more things, and then they were like, I want something different. And I think it's okay. Like, I wouldn't say hang on, but I would say like state what you want. If the person is like down to come toward more towards your lifestyle and respect like the reasons behind why you want that, I think that's fine. But if you voice that concern a number of times and the person is like, doesn't really seem interested in changing their lifestyle, they're probably not a good match for you anymore.
Yeah. I think when you say you're waiting for someone to mature, you have one definition of maturity. Like, I've met a lot of immature older people. Like, if you've ever been, like, not everyone's version of maturity is the same thing. Like, I don't know. It's just like when she talks about like his party days, like, have you ever been to like a beach town? Like, if you go to a beach town, you go to the beach bar, you see older people that are together, like, going wild. And you're like, good for those old people, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I don't think there was a point where she's like, well, I had to wait until he was ready to do the daytime drink that we wouldn't be going out at night. Like, I don't know. It doesn't.
I think they're also girls who are more okay with that.
Yeah, that's what Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like that some guys are always those guys who are like going out and drinking and partying and doing whatever, which is fine. And some girls are like more into that than others. But I think that some girls who are not maybe would wait it out and say like, oh, maybe he's like gonna, you know, he's gonna be over doing this stuff soon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is fine. I think it's also fine, again, as long as you state what you need and when you need it. And if the person doesn't meet you there, then they're not that interested in that lifestyle and you're just not as good of a match as you might have thought you were.
Yeah, I guess, except if you have a dog and you want to spend one night, you know, have one glass of wine on the couch.
Right. To me, she just seems like she's not that interested in him. Like, she doesn't.
I would agree.
She's kind of like, when someone says, can I hang on?
Yeah, no.
I would never want someone to describe their relationship with me as like hanging on.
Mike's at the altar. I knew Jordana was the one when I decided to hang on a couple more months to see if she'd come around.
If I could just make it through this next few months. And obviously, like, relationship have rough patches. That's not to say, like, you should bounce as soon as things get a little tough. But I think it just seems like she's not that interested. She doesn't like him that much anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you.
She might love him. And that's almost the hardest part. It's like when you love someone, but you kind of don't really like them anymore.
Yeah, that is brutal. That's like, and that gets talked about way less because you sound like the biggest asshole in the world. Like, this woman could sound like a big piece of shit to her friends. Can you imagine you're at brunch and she's like, I love him, but I just don't like him anymore. And it's like, I'm not like you people anymore. I'm just not looking to party, really. I'm just looking to read a book and have one glass of wine at night. And it's like all her friends are sitting there like, fuck you, you know?
I mean, I've heard that from girls and I've been when being single and I'm like, okay, that sounds like a great problem to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you've got this boyfriend. He wants to have sex with you too much. And he's really fun.
Yeah.
But
do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton, and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Boll & Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Boll & Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending your awkward sex stories. They're always so good. This one's a good one. I like this one. Dear J&J, hello from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Wow, we're international, Dreadanna. We did it.
All the way from Amsterdam. I love it.
Love your podcast. All the stories, comments, and advice make me much more confident in dating, not accepting any BS or settling for less. And you just make me laugh a lot, so thanks for all of that. I have an awkward sex story that I would like to share with you that I think you can appreciate. So I was dating this guy briefly. We were hitting it off really well, especially in bed. Our second date was cute. He cooked for me. We drank plenty of wine, and I stayed the night at his place for the first time. We both woke up dozens of times during the night. Somehow, we just slept really bad. So at some point, when I noticed he was all awake as well, I thought, why not wake him up for some more? Okay. Want some more sloppy juice?
Sloppy for you.
That's right. I started kissing and teasing him and eventually sat on top of him. Pleasantly surprised, he then was fully awake, and we had sex. The next morning, he prepared tiny pancakes for breakfast. Is that the most Amsterdam thing you've ever heard?
Waffles. You read a stroop waffle?
No, what's that?
It's like, they give them to you on some airlines, but they're a big Amsterdam thing. It's like a cinnamon.
They come in plastic packages, right?
It's really good. Those are like the packaged ones. They have like fresh ones too. It's like adorable.
I mean, I just imagine him like, tiny pancake for you. Right. Tiny pancake for me. I don't know. That's my impression of Paris,
but in Amsterdam.
So cute. And then he thanked me for waking him up, saying he really enjoyed that, after I went home. Fast forward to the weekend where I went to his place again. We sat on the sofa, chatting and laughing, until he said, I need to tell you something, but you have to promise you won't get mad. Uh-oh.
Never something you want to hear.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but if someone says that to you after just two dates, you start to think, what the fuck could I really be angry about? Oh, I would think, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, but there's nothing to be angry about. I'd be like, oh my God, this person, you know.
Like, yeah, that's like a terrifying thing to hear.
Yeah. I really had no clue. He grabbed his phone and told me he has this sleep app that tracks how well you sleep every night. What this app also does is record sounds in case you talk in your sleep. It took me half a second to realize when I saw the big grin on his face that this app had recorded our sex session. It even displays a graph of the volume of the sounds. He played the recording where at first it was cute, but still awkward. You could hear some kissing sounds, but forwarding to where the graph reached a peak, I could hear myself moaning and climaxing. With my hands covering my face, I felt like I was melting into the sofa out of embarrassment, but at the same time, I couldn't stop laughing. This was both so awkward and hilarious. I also got very self-aware of my high-pitched moan that apparently comes out when I'm almost there. Can you imagine? You like, because no one, there is nothing worse than hearing your own voice. Like, as if anyone that has a podcast can understand. Like, anytime I have to go listen back to something
I did,
I'm like, oh,
yeah. I sound like that.
Yeah, exactly. Now you have to hear yourself come, and you hear, oh
my God.
I forgot to ask him to remove it, but since my name or face isn't on there and he said he got turned on by it, I might as well let him have the pleasure of listening to it every now and then. We didn't continue things since we both felt something was missing to move it forward, but we still had a good laugh about this. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I do telling my friends about it. Curious to what you'll name this one. I love this one.
I also
like the idea that, like, he might not, I mean, I don't like the idea. I would say... beware that he goes, can you believe this happened, when he knows this happens?
Right. And then he played it for you. That's an interesting thought. Like, maybe this wasn't such an accident.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's a little too convenient to be like, you won't promise you won't get mad. Like,
yeah.
Or so,
like, cause I feel like if I accidentally did that, I would like laugh to myself and then delete it. If I was actually worried that the person would get mad, I would just delete it.
Yeah. There's no reason to even keep it. It's gone. Done.
Right.
It's almost like, I mean, this gets us into like very serious territory where you go, it's almost like he's gaslighting you into an agreement of him keeping it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, oh, you won't believe this. So my phone starts recording
now,
anytime I have sex. Yeah, now I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring us into the mind of a murderer.
Right.
But that is a very real scenario. But because I don't have a sleep tracker. Do you?
No, I don't have a sleep tracker or something. I mean, is that a thing, I guess, that it records you when you sleep? I read a news article this morning about Google coming out with a thing that can like will sense you're sleeping and like tell you how well you slept. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a real thing, but, yeah, I would kind of be like, if I accidentally did that, I think I would just delete it. I wouldn't be like, so don't get mad. But yeah, Here's something I could have just gotten rid of immediately, but I'm choosing to play for you.
I just Googled it. This app records the sounds you make in your sleep, and people are sharing their hilarious results. Yeah, okay. I guess it does it. I mean, listen, I'll take her at his word but I agree, like, you can literally delete this right in front of the person.
Right. But it seems like he like wanted to keep it.
Yeah, she did say it turned him on. She was cool with that, which, listen, that can be cool with a consenting couple. Like, I understand that, too. I just, it's just interesting to me that he's like, you're going to get so you're not going to believe this. Like, he could have just explained it instead. But right. I guess the noise is so funny, and she did laugh, so.
I feel like that is the last thing I would want to hear.
Is yourself climaxing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that would be.
Like. It's like listening to yourself on a podcast, but I feel like worse.
1,000 times worse, especially with the male climax sound is like, it would sound like, it just sounds like a bunch of people stubbing their toes. Jared, you have to hear this. I can't imagine me. Like hers, she said it's high pitched. That's kind of cute.
I guess that's subjective, though. Would sure. you be okay with someone if someone did this to you or like wanted to keep it?
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. If they wanted to keep it, I'd be like, if you want to hear what it sounds like when I shit or climax, right. Sure.
Depends how distinguishable your voice is. If you're, who's that comedian that you drove once that you chauffeured? Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, Gilbert Gottfried.
If you're him, I think people are going to know who it is.
Yeah. I'm climaxing. That's Gilbert Gottfried coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. did I tell that story on this podcast? I probably did. It's somewhere in the archives. Yeah, that's a long story for another day that we can retell. But yeah, would you be okay with this? What would you?
I think I would want it. I wouldn't want it in the. I would ask them to delete it, I think.
Yeah.
Like also because like I wouldn't even want to listen to it. I would just be like, if you could recognize, I just wouldn't want it out there personally.
Yeah, especially with the way I climax. When I climax, I go like this. I'm Jared Fried, and this took 30 seconds. That's how I climax. So it's a little descriptive of me. Yeah. I don't know. What would you call this?
I would call it the wiretap that ass.
The wiretap that ass. That is so fantastic.
Thank you.
That wins. That's a good one. I had the moaning mixtape. And then the other one I had was the operatic orgasm.
Operatic?
Like opera. Like, is that a word? Okay. Operatic?
I like it.
Did I just make up a word?
It works.
Okay.
And then Maddie, our producer, also came up with the Sleepy Sex Tape and Big Brother, which I kind of like too.
Big Brother's good. I like that. Yeah, keep them coming in. Red flag or deal breaker? Would you see this person again?
I think it would be a red flag. It would be a real red flag for me that they had like.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't, it wouldn't like, be over out, but I would definitely make a mental note that they had done that.
There's that thing where it's like, oh, and by the way, and you go, oh, this wasn't a by the way. This whole thing was created for the by the way.
Right.
You know, that would I wouldn't trust. It would be hard for me to trust.
It would make me concerned that they were doing other things without my consent. It would be less of a red flag if they were like, do you mind if I record this? Hold on.
Listen, I'm really into moaning sounds. Do you mind if I that, yeah, that, being that, up that front, is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do another email. UUP at Betches.com.
Okay. Hi, Jared and Jordana. Thank you so much for everything you do. You've truly changed my dating life for the better. The other day, I went for a walk with a friend who I knew was going through some relationship problems. She had been talking about taking a break with her boyfriend, but on this walk, she revealed some shocking news. She told me that a few days prior, she got back on the dating apps, started messaging with someone she knew I liked, and slept with him. I was too surprised to know how to feel at the time, but once I got home, I felt hurt. It was not about the guy, but more about the fact that she knowingly went after someone I was interested in and talking to. I should mention that I never met this guy because our plans fell through a few times, but she didn't know if it ever worked out. After telling me they had their own date, she asked me, did you ever meet up with him? Which shows me that she didn't care either way. In the moment, I felt like I couldn't get mad at her because I didn't have dibs on him and she doesn't need my permission to meet anyone. But I feel like what she did was selfish and she told me after it was too late. It would be one thing if it was total coincidence, but we figured out later that but it was obviously obvious that she knew who he was. She tried to play the oblivious card, saying she wasn't sure if it was the same guy, but I know this was not an accident based on some of the things she shared. She even said that while they talked about their friend groups, she purposely didn't mention my name just in case. Seems shady to me. She also remembered the reason why my plans fell through with him the first time, which I actually forgot myself. Another fun twist is that I was unknowingly having a text conversation with her while she was with him. I was checking in to see how she was doing with her relationship issues while being home alone with her feelings that day, but she did not mention that she was on a date or even single. I know the timing overlapped because she later told me where and when she went with this guy. She went with this guy I liked. What do you guys think? Is there any type of girl code or guy code when it comes to matching the same people your friends match? I personally felt like she violated my trust, especially because I considered her a good friend and she knew I was talking to this guy for a few weeks. I still haven't told her that this sucked for me to hear, but now I've gotten over the initial shock and feelings. I'm not really sure what to make of it. As always, I would appreciate your insight.
I think this is an interesting email, but I have one thing that I want to get clarified, and maybe you understood it better than me.
Sure.
What she said, she went on a walk to help her friend through her relationship. So does that mean she was cheating on the guy that she was seeing?
I thought that was a little bit gray too. It seemed like it seems like she's implying that she just broke up with her boyfriend and didn't really tell her. Mm-hmm. She knew that she was going through relationship issues, and then like, because she said she didn't even mention that she was single, but mm-hmm. She didn't say that like she wasn't single.
You know what the interesting part about, so I'm with you. I think. Let's take it as that. She finds out that they're broken up on this walk where she thought they were going to talk about it.
Because I would imagine she would mention that explicitly as in part of her case against this girl that she was like
cheating
on her boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting that this podcast, we get so many emails and we've been doing this for long enough that we've gotten this email from the other side. Like, I know exactly what's going on here because we've received, not in this scenario, but in this exact scenario, an email from the other woman going, so I'm having trouble with my guy. I end up meeting this other guy who is matched with my friend. They're not getting together. And now I don't know what to do because I'm moving along with this new guy and I don't want to be mean to my friend. How do I handle it? Like, and it feels like she handled it in maybe the least direct way by going and kind of doing what we're talking about with the guy in the awkward sex that we're like afraid that he might be doing, where it's like, oh, and by the way, we're broken up. And by the way, that guy you were talking about, he and I went out. I know you guys haven't gone out. Just want to make sure that was cool. She's asking for forgiveness instead of permission.
Right. And in her head, she's probably like, well, I'm being honest.
Yes.
And I'm being honest, but I'm trying to do it in such a casual way that I'm downplaying that it's a big deal.
Exactly. And so like to this person who's emailing, yes, your friend is lying to you by omitting information that would be more direct, but she's kind of side-dooring her honesty, don't you think?
Right. What would you have done if you were the friend?
The problem the friend has, what do you mean? The
like, how would you have approached this if you were the friend and like you were newly single and on this dating app and you and saw someone that your friend had mentioned that they had been speaking to but had never actually gone out with, that you wanted to, that you were kind of interested also in maybe going out with?
The problem that friend has, and the I'm sorry to the person who wrote in, is that the person who wrote in doesn't want to admit that this is never going to happen with this other guy in the way she wants. He might be talking with her, but he hasn't made the move for a date. He might want to hook up with you, but it seems like he wants to hook up with you while also hooking with other people.
Right.
Like, so, I know how her relationship with him is going to be. So that's how I think the other person felt. She's like, they're never going to be something. So why would I hold myself back from having happiness? And listen, that's a dickish move too. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's her thought process.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that rationale. And I think you're totally right that the girl who is writing in is kind of looking for a reason that she's not meeting up with this guy, and it is a little bit more convenient channel to get annoyed at this girl, which I get that this would be annoying. Have you ever gone out with the same person as someone, your friend, on a dating app?
I have been. People have tried to fix me up with the same person as another friend of ours in the same circle, and I've always, it's the worst feeling in the world.
Why?
Because then you measure you inevitably, even though you don't, it's not about that, you end up like measuring yourself up to this person that you never thought you were going to have to measure yourself up to. Like, you do comparison things. It brings you back. It just brings you down a bad mental road. And okay. I think because you know that person intimately, you start thinking of the things that you envy about that person, whether they're right or wrong, it's your own feeling. So like this person, she has this friend. She probably has things that she envies about her life. She probably has things she doesn't envy about her life. But you're kind of doing that Venn diagram of you versus them that you really didn't want to do. Like, you're
right.
Always
direct
better off
comparison.
Not,
yeah,
it's a direct comparison, and they're choosing this, even though that's not true. You don't know what their connection is. You don't know why they worked out.
Even if they are, it doesn't mean better or worse. It just means better for them.
Yeah, a size 9 shoe isn't better than a size 9.5 shoe. It just happens to fit this person better than you. You know, like, it's really hard. Like, have you ever been in this situation?
I've gone on dates that I've realized that my friends have also gone on dates with the same person. And it can be like a little weird. I haven't really been in that situation where actually like either of us really liked the guy or like really wound up going anywhere. But I can see a situation where I would feel annoyed about this. But I think it's a really easy thing to be respectful about. It's kind of like if I was the friend.
It's uncomfortable, but it's easy. It's easy, but it's uncomfortable.
Right. If I was the friend, because it's also like to stop two people from going out makes you look like a lunatic, right? The person who wants to go out with the person kind of has leverage as long as they're being direct. So like if she wanted to go out with this guy that she matched with on a dating app, she should have just texted this girl and been like, hey, I matched with this guy on a dating app. I'm kind of into him. I know you've been seeing him. I know you've been talking to him, but you haven't gone out. Like, would it be okay if I went out with him just to like see where it might go? If that makes you uncomfortable, I can like totally opt out of this. The friend or this girl, I would think if I were the girl, I would be almost like too embarrassed to be like, no, like you guys cannot see each other, especially if I hadn't even met him yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. You're in the loser position. You,
right.
You're
but I would
the
feel
baby.
Better. Yeah. I would more respected that someone asked me.
A friend would, a good friend would go to you and go, hey, our friendship is worth more than this. I just want to let you know. He just asked me on a date.
Right.
Like, you could even say, he just asked me on a date. I do want to go, but I want to make sure it's okay with you. I won't go if that's something you don't want me to do.
Exactly. Like, it's like every, it's like Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of things where it's like you want, if you get ahead of things, you're always better off. This person is doing like it in reverse. They're getting behind things.
Right. She's doing it like, it's almost like it would be almost easier to be mad at, it's because it's easier to be mad at her if she just didn't say anything. But she did it half-assed. She like told her after and like sort of said it as a sidebar instead of asking her how she felt about it.
And it's exactly for the reason you said. She knows that you can't really say anything. You have no right to. Like, that's the embarrassing part for the emailer is like, I should mention that I never met this guy because our plans fell through a few times. And it's like the embarrassing part is like, your plans fell through, hers didn't. That is like, and now, because hers didn't and she went through with them, she says to you, oh, and we went out. Like, what are you going to say? Well, I didn't even ever go out with him because he would never like make a plan with me. But I guess for you, he'll make a plan. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. She's not really in a, the emailer isn't in a position to like, especially if she's asked directly how she feels. I think it would be like a very like, not, I mean, I guess if she really felt strongly about it, then she could say, please don't go out with him. But like,
it's,
I feel like I would never,
that.
Yeah, I would never, it's, do that.
It's too late. So what does she do? Like, now it is too, I agree with you. It's too late to be like, hey,
you must never see him again.
Yeah. Romeo and Juliet.
I would text her and I would say, hey, like, after a walk in the park the other day, like I would ignore the whole like she's talking to you while she's talking to him thing because that doesn't really matter. I would just say, hey, like when you had mentioned that you were going out with this guy, I was a little shocked because I know I told you that I was like talking to him and we were trying to meet up. Like, it made me feel a little uncomfortable and a little weird. I wish you would just like run it by me before. I would have been like kind of okay with it, but I would have felt more like respected and like you cared about valued our friendship more if you had given me the heads up before rather than after.
Yeah, and if this friend is a liar, which they already are, they will respond by denying it and, oh, I didn't know. And it's like, you know, I don't know how old these people are, but I think with every friend, you get an opportunity to see kind of how much of a friend they are and what type of friend they are. And this is the type of friend this person is. Like, this is, you know, everyone builds a resume with you. And like, I sometimes these things are just like, yeah, that's who they are. That's what they cared about.
Something to remember about them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would send the same text. I would even say like, hey, all of this felt from my end a little too convenient. You could have called me. I'm an adult.
Right. They're friends enough that they hang out alone on walks together or something. Like,
and she was, I guess, like, you can't do the thing where it's like, and I was going to be there for you and your ex. It's like, I think a lot of times with these situations, and especially when I get female friends of mine come to me about this stuff, they'll always reference that, well, she had a boyfriend and now she's got to have another guy, as if like there's like seven guys out there to have.
Right.
Like,
as if she's taking more of her rations than like,
yes,
than she's allowed.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't go down that road because that puts, you can't make the world where she has it all and you have nothing. Cause you have a lot. You're going to be fine. You know?
Right. Like, I think that you don't want to be positioning yourself like that in the world of like,
no.
Well, you know, she could have anyone, and this was the only guy that ever liked me, maybe.
It can very quickly sound like that.
Yeah.
In this situation. But, yeah, I think that text will work out. And, yeah, you might have, maybe you're not going to go on walks with her for the when this thing ends.
Maybe. The three of you on walks together.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social
interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's play some games. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. Send yours in because these keep getting more real than ever, and I love it.
These are great. Okay. Hi, J&J. I love all that you do and listen to you twice weekly. I love all that you do to answer the questions I never thought I've had. Here's the story I need advice on. For the past 6 months, I've been dating a guy that I've fallen madly in love with. He has a dog that he shares
with his
ex.
There's your first mistake.
Right?
Why don't you back off a little bit? Madly.
Madly. He has a dog that he shares with his ex part-time. We usually are at my house, but I go to his when he has her. When I'm there, I observe very strange behavior, i.e. he will let his dog hump his foot, chase her for the toy she has in her mouth. She doesn't understand the drop it command. Give her treats after she pees in the house out of spite when we are putting on our shoes. He literally never disciplines her. This is his animal, but he is the submissive and the dog is the dominant. I understand that it is not my place to tell him how to raise his dog, but as I think about the relationship progressing, can I live with a dog like this? Am I coming home to a pee-filled house watching my boyfriend getting his foot humped by his female dog daily? How would he be with our kids if he allows this behavior with the animal that is easily trainable? I brought it up to him and he said he needs time to think. Red flag or deal breaker?
I got to think about it. I don't know what to do.
I'm really attached to my dog peeing all over my house. I don't know if that's something I'm willing to not have happen.
When she humps my leg, it kind of feels good. I don't like to admit that. Yeah. How do you feel? So let me start by saying it sounds like this emailer has dog experience or has sexual, you know, BDSM experience, because the way she describes this is his animal, but he is the submissive and the dog is the dominant. Like,
right. It sounds that's a weird way to describe that relationship. Although I know what she's talking about, but I would just say like he lets the dog do whatever it wants. That's how I would describe it.
We're not dog people, you or I.
No.
So I would say, I think this is like dog trainer talk. Like it seems like she has experience with dogs. So that's why she is judging like the fact that he doesn't understand the drop it command. Like that's a big deal to her.
Right. I don't know what that is.
I guess to drop whatever's in its mouth or whatever. So it feels like she has dog experience that she is like, you know, the idea. So it feels like this comes from a place of like, I know what I'm doing. You obviously don't.
Right.
So
she's right.
She's probably right. No, I think she's definitely right. Sounds like she's right. How do you feel about someone sharing their dog with their ex?
I mean, she really brushed right past that, but that would be like the first red flag about the dog. It seems like this dog is causing like a lot of red flags to me.
Yeah.
The sharing the dog with the ex, I'm definitely not into. It's not a child. I get that we're not dog people and maybe not as sentimental as others who have dogs, but this isn't a child. Someone needs to keep the dog.
It is insane. We get emails like this all the time.
Bless you.
Oi, thank you. So we get emails like, keep that in, Sean. We get emails like this all the time where it's like this like custody sharing situation that seemingly always ends. Like it never works out. Like, oh, he gets to visit the dog sometimes. Yeah. It's like,
you gotta both have your own wife and like spouse and children and be sharing the dog. Oh, that's just mom's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah,
Charlie for the weekend.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's like, it feels, and I get when you come into a relationship, they're like, yeah, they're sharing the dog. It's like one of those things you can't really disagree with, like the first couple months, because you're like, oh, yeah, cool. And then now you're 6 months in, it's like, okay, enough with this shared custody situation.
Yeah, it's not. I understand sharing custody of a child. That's normal. A dog, again, I understand people are very attached to their dogs, but so you'll know the dog will be safe with the other person because you trusted them to have it while you were there. Sure. That would be my deal breaker, actually, more so than him not taking proper care of the dog.
Yeah, I think the connecting it to the kids, I don't think that's, well, again, we agree that we don't think kids and dogs are the same fucking thing. I think someone's going to be better of a actual dad than a dog dad. So to like extrapolate it out like that, I think they're getting ahead of themselves. But what I would say is the peeing on the house, I would say, I think like a way to come at that is like, hey, I'm not coming over if there's pee everywhere. Like that, I think that's okay to say.
Yeah, that's making it about your own center. I think it's totally okay to say like, I'm a little turned off by like the way you take care of your dog. I'm like, I don't feel like you're doing that great of a job because the dog is peeing everywhere and this and this X, Y, Z evidence as to how this is affecting me.
Yeah. But I think for me, the deal breaker is sharing the custody. Like that to me is like, you're not done with this. You haven't broken up yet. You forgot to like give them back one of their things.
Right. It just seems like a totally unnecessary way to like tie two people together for what? How many years would that again? Like about the future. I'm thinking less about how is this person taking care of my kids and more like how is this shared custody situation affecting me long term?
Yeah. Does the dog come to the wedding or is that on an off weekend? Yeah. I don't know. So we're going to get a ton of DMs about this. There's going to be some person that's like, no, I've shared a dog with my other dog family for 80 years and we go on vacation together now and it's not weird at all. And it's like, it's fucking weird.
I have dogs from multiple exes. We're a blended dog family.
I need people to know. We're late in the podcast. We're down. If you're listening now, you're a fan. When you write a comment or DM, well, okay, then you're out of this joke. Right. Good luck. You know,
it's like, okay to have a different experience than the one that we're describing.
Yeah, but the one we're describing is the most normalized situation.
Exactly.
So let's go to another one. You ready?
Yes.
Hi from Australia. Wow, what an international episode we have right now.
I love these international fans. It's amazing.
I want to go to Australia so fucking bad. I Jess does too.
Let's all go to Australia. Let's do a show
there. Let's all go. We'll hold hands all the way there, all 24 hours of the flight. There's a comedy, the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I hope it comes back, but I want to go to that. We should do a show there. That would be unreal.
Guys, let us know if you buy tickets to our Australia show because we'll be there.
And share the podcast. If you're in Australia, share this. We need this seed to start growing with you. That's going to be a t-shirt. Okay. went on a date last week to a bar. We have zero community transmission, so life here is normal. Wow, bragging.
Of course, socially distanced, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero community transmission, of course.
Of course. Yeah, this is... We sat down, and he made no indication to get drinks. So I just rolled with it to see if he would offer, make any moves that we get a drink. Obviously cool with buying my own. But he did not. After an hour, I made an excuse and left. Red flag or deal breaker? That's insane.
That is weird. That is very weird. It's like if you don't want to drink, go for a walk. Or like,
well, also, how does it not come up? So you just sat at a bar and you were like, hey. And he was like, hey. And then you just were like, okay.
It almost seems like kind of rude to the bar. Like you're just two people sitting there not buying anything.
Taking up space. Yeah, they just had a global pandemic where they had to shut down for a few weeks. Come on.
I mean, I would immediately assume that the person wasn't interested in me because they were trying to just make it a short. They didn't want to keep it the length of one drink.
They were waiting you out, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which
is very awkward and weird. It would be a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker for me. I mean, it's a deal breaker from like,
why isn't she getting a drink, though, is my other question.
It's weird to... I understand being like, let's see how this goes, but I think you have to take a little more control in your dating life. Like, hey, you want a drink or something? Like, I would just get... Like, I think it's okay to realize that someone is a little not your speed or not your type, but to then make you like go by their speed just because, like, I don't know. I that's an awkward way to live through life. I'd rather like push through awkward than to just like become like a victim to it, you know?
Right. I would have been like, I'm going to grab a drink. Did you want anything?
Exactly. That is a normal way to approach the situation.
Sounds like very awkward date. Really funny though. Okay. He has his frat letters tattooed on his rib cage, or she has her sorority letters small on her wrist.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with tattoos in general that you don't like anymore, because you can you can remove a tattoo, or I'm okay if you like the tattoo. Like if that means something to you, like I really have never seen a tattoo that I'm like, get me off this date. Like
I'd have to know the story behind it. I would definitely not like it. I'm not that into personally, my personal preference. I'm not that interested in tattoos. But if there's some sort of meaningful experience or thing behind it, that's not like we were all hazed together and we fucking love Jimmy Bros. Brother Jimmy's, whatever.
Jimmy Bros.
And
shout out.
These are all my boys. Like, if it wasn't really... dumb tattoos kind of turn me off. So,
well, I don't like when the tattoo surprises me about the person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, Ben Higgins was The Bachelor. There was this... He took off his shirt, and then all of a sudden, he had, like, a huge dragon on his back. You're like, whoa, do I know this person at all? You know?
Like Ben Affleck with the...
Ben Affleck's tattoo is crazy.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, I need you to explain more about what this has to do with you.
Yeah. How did I get to finding out about this and having it be shocking to me? Someone who has been intimate enough to be on a date with you. That's like, I would think that like if sorority letters are on your wrist, I would kind of see them coming. Like I would be like, oh, she was in a sorority. She's from, you know, went to Alabama. She, you know, this is what they do there. You know, like I could, in my mind, I'm building a cartoon of a person, but that's what I would assume I'm with.
Right. So you're fine with it.
I'm okay with it. I would be fine with it.
I think it's the red flag or deal. It definitely would be at least a red flag, but it could potentially just be a red flag if the story behind it is, I find interesting enough.
Impress me with your tales or you're gone.
I mean, if you have a tattoo, I feel like you should be prepared to tell a story about the reason
that
behind
is
it.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes tattoo people will be like, oh, I don't have to explain myself. It's like, okay, you don't have to explain yourself to like, you know, a random person on the street, but like you're on a date with someone, yeah, like I'd be like, that's a scene.
Yeah, you don't have to explain anything. You don't have to tell me your name, but we're on a date.
One time I was in a green room and there was a woman in the green room and she's a very funny comic, but she was saying how she got this tattoo that she didn't like or that was from a past relationship. And I was like, and she was talking about it in a way that it seemed like she was like, didn't enjoy the tattoo. And then she showed us all and it was wild. I was like, what was the tattoo? I don't want to out this person. I don't want to describe it, but I can't remember what it was, but I remember seeing it. Well, Jess was next to me when I saw it, and my reaction was, oh, why would you do that? That was my first reaction.
Oh my God, did you say that?
Well, I go, why would you do that? That was like my, and Jess was like, you're so rude. This was, how could you say that? And I go, she already started with, it's a dumb tattoo. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I thought we were already there. I could say that. And Jess said, it's like a girl asking if your ass looks fat. Do you agree? But this is different.
Well,
I think
if the girl started with, well, I'm not really sure if I like these jeans. I feel like they're not that flattering on my butt. What do you think?
I would say I think those aren't great. Go with a different pair. But I wouldn't say. But
she set herself up for that.
She set herself up for that. She's going do, and then she's opening herself up to truth. It's the same thing that the person on the walk is doing. Oh, it's the same advice we gave to the person on the walk, where it's like if she had called her and was like, hey, I just want to make sure this is okay with you. Now you're opened up to air your complaints that, no, it really right. does feel uncomfortable. So when someone says, oh, you know, my pants, do you think these fit on me? I feel like they're a little loose. I wouldn't be like, yeah, you need, you know, your fat ass doesn't fit. I wouldn't say that. I'd be like, yeah, I would go with a different pair.
Maybe like, let's see another. That's what Mike does. What else do you have?
What else do you have? That's how you know your bits aren't really great. Someone's like, what are you going to do on this? Yeah, what are you going to do on this for the joke? I'm thinking about this. What else do you have? What else do you
right.
have?
Yeah. So. Well, that's if you're self aware, I feel like you realize that means they're not interested in the thing that you're asking them about.
I totally agree. So we solved self awareness and dating today, Jordana. We did it again.
Look at us, another that's one right. in the books.
Listen, people, we love doing this podcast. We love that you love the show. Keep telling your friends. Keep making your Instagram stories. Tell a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Anyone with ears, we'll take them. And we'll be back Sunday.
See you then. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Madeline Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.